Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special tonight. And again, what a blessing it is just to be in church in this building and then having those join us through the live stream. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6. On Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching on the teachings of Christ, starting when the first message that Jesus presented to us as that 12-year-old boy. And we have been studying all the lessons and all the things that he has taught. For the last few weeks, we've been on the Sermon on the Mount. And what a tremendous, tremendous blessing it is to have Matthew chapter 5 through 7 and giving us the message that Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples. The Sermon on the Mount would be the blueprint for New Testament Christianity. It's something that I encourage believers to read over and over again on a regular basis because that is the blueprint and it's the very mind of God for New Testament Christianity. In Matthew chapter 6, as this is where we'll be at tonight, we're actually going to be reading verse 25 down to verse 34. And this is the message tonight is one that is very much needed as what we're facing as a church and as a country, as a nation, and that is help for anxiety, help for anxiety. And so if you would, if you'd like to stand with us tonight, if you're able to do so, go ahead and stand, as well as you at home. We encourage you to stand when we stand and read and pray as we do. And so get your families together and stand, and let's study this, read first of all this portion of the Word of God, and then we'll preach it this evening. So Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. And again, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to assemble ourselves together once again. And Lord, we're excited about looking forward and eventually being able to get our entire congregation back together, assembling together and serving and worshiping you and accomplishing all that you have for us. But for right now, Father, we thank you for what we have. And I just pray that you would continue to work through what we're using today and the live stream and all the other different things to be able to get the message out. And I just pray now tonight, God, for all that are here and those that are watching via live stream, that you would help each one to put everything else out of their minds and focus on what you have for us. Pray that you would anoint and bless the preaching of the word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Help for anxiety. Can I tell you that anxiety is part of human life on earth? It's just part of human life. Especially, of course, we have the Word of God. Jesus wrote this, and this is blueprint for New Testament Christianity, but this was given to us some 2,000 years ago and didn't have all the different things that we have today as far as technology. And I think that technology has made anxiety even a greater part of life. As we look into the 21st century, this would be the information age. There's a lot more out there that if you are privy to, that's going to cause anxiety. I was talking to my wife yesterday, I think it was, we was talking about this, and she explained to me that her life has somewhat come to an end with COVID because she has no Sunday school class, and she loves her Sunday school class. We don't have Sunday school, and she was always looking and working on that Sunday school class and doing all that. She has no ministry, ladies' ministry, because we cancel all the ladies' ministries. We cancel just about everything other than just having services for what's going on. So all the things that she had given herself to and all the ministries had pretty much had come to an end. And so she has had a lot more time on her hands, and often we'll be sitting there and she'll say, "Did you know that? Did you hear that?" And I'm thinking, wow, something happened to a church member. And I said, "Who and where?" "Oh, this, I don't know the person, but over in California or there in Florida, or it happened over in overseas. And I'm thinking, do we really need to know that? Do we really need to know about every bad thing that happens around the world? Because it's going to cause anxieties. The more negative things that you're exposed to, the more negative things that you allow your mind to ponder, you're more susceptible to anxieties. It's just the truth. And so Jesus understood the need for the help for anxiety in New Testament Christianity, knowing especially as we come to the end of times and the technology that we would have in the end of times and this information era that we're living in. Wow. I don't know about you, but I have limited brain cells. The older I get, the more limited they are. And so I've got to be careful. You know, a computer can only handle so much, and then it just shuts down, you know. And our minds can only handle so much, and then it just shuts down. And anxiety is part of our thinking. Matter of fact, anxiety would be the emotions of worry. If you're looking for an understanding of a word, that word anxiety, it would be the emotions based on feelings, how it affects our thinking, how it affects our thinking, affects our health, the emotions of worry. Now, Jesus refers to anxiety, and we have it translated with the English word thought. Okay, that thought. Look there with me. Now, with that and understanding that, go back and let's study this for just a few minutes here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought." If you would replace that with emotions of worry. If you would not worry, do not worry for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Verse 27, "Which of you by taking thought it's talking about anxiety. Which of you, by worrying about it, can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Why worry about raiment when you can consider the lilies of the field? We'll come back to that. Verse 28, or verse 31. Therefore, take no thought. Okay, every time you see that word translated in the English language there, that idea of thought, it is the emotions of worry, which is anxiety. And so, therefore, take no thought, or be not anxious, or do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what we shall drink, or whither shall we be clothed? Verse 34. Take therefore no thought. So we see here several times that thought that Jesus presents, that we understand it to mean worry. That idea of take no thought is not meant to us to see it in a way of not to think about these things. It's not about thinking about these things. I recommend everyone think about what you put on every day. I recommend that you think about what you're going to eat every day, making sure that what you eat, amen, is going to be something that is be healthy, something that can help you, making sure that what you put on is going to represent how you want to be represented. So he's not telling us not to think about these things. These are necessities of life. But he is telling us, stop worrying about it. About the necessities of life. Not to worry. Allowing our thinking to turn into anxieties. If you don't think about it, it will never turn into an anxiety. If you don't know about it, there's no way of you thinking about it. And so if you aren't thinking about it, you can't worry about it. Amen. Yeah. Jesus gave this to us on the Sermon on the Mount, knowing exactly where we would be today, some 2,000 years later, where his church would be today, what his church would have to deal with today. I know a lot of pastors, and I've talked to a lot of pastors over the last several months, and seeing how others are dealing with the COVID crisis and all the different things, how it's affecting the worry of people, how it's affecting the attendance, how it's affecting the ministries, and all the different things taking place. And everyone with the same mindset. Who could have ever seen this coming? How could you prepare to battle a virus like we're battling, and how it's affected not only the United States, but the entire world? And we're still yet to know exactly how it's going to continue to affect us as a church. How it's going to affect our finances. How it's going to affect the political election of officers and positions that will, hopefully, that we have seen is very important, that we make sure that we get the right people in offices because they govern our cities. And so who knows? We still do not know, but we do know that God knew. Jesus knew that this would be something that would help New Testament Christianity from the very first century through the last century before the rapture of the church, and which I believe we could be in that last century. This could be the very last battles that we're going to fight before the rapture of the church. I believe, and most of the other guys that I'm talking to, other pastors from around the country, are thinking some of the very same things. We are seeing prophecy just unfold before our very eyes. And as I preached on this morning, it's not a time to lose your faith. It's not a time to make a wrong decision to fit more into the world. It's a time to take a stand and serve God and choose to increase your commitment to God. Yeah. So, anxiety, a common New Testament church age problem that is used by our adversary, the devil. But as it is used by the devil, it's a problem that God wants to help us with. Are you following me? That's important that we understand that. It's a common, Jesus gave it to the New Testament church. He gave it on the Sermon on the Mount, which is a blueprint for New Testament Christianity. He understood it would be a part of the church. It would be a part of Christianity. It would be a part of society. He knew that Satan would try to use this to be a hindrance. But at the same time, it's a problem that God wants to help us with. Can I tell you a basic help? And now we're going to go back and to see what he says here, but if you want to bring it down and just give you a basic verse that God would have us to focus on, would be 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, when the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Jesus wanted to build up the disciples' faith and who he was and what he was able to do. God wants us to build up our faith in who God is and what he's able to do. Because as we build up our faith in God, and we know that he's able to handle all things, he's the creator God, I can take all of my burden. I can take all those things that would lead to my anxiety. I can take all those cares that are overwhelming me, and I can cast those off of my weak shoulders. I can cast those off of my thinking that I have to control it, my thinking that I have to do something about it, my thinking that it depends on me, which will lead you to anxiety. And take them off of my shoulders and be able to cast them upon the shoulders of an almighty God who does love me. He's proved his love for me and who cares for me and is able to handle all of my burdens, all of my cares. Wow. Isn't that good? It's exactly what Jesus is getting across here on the Sermon on the Mount. Now let's go back, verse 25. Food and clothing, basic necessities. Stop worrying. Stop worrying. Therefore I say to you, take no thought, not necessarily to think about it. We ought to think about how, where we're going to live, what we're going to eat, what we're going to put on. But understand that we have a God that knows we have these needs. Stop worrying. Verse 26, behold, he said, this will help you to stop worrying. The fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. I love that. So he says, food and clothing, necessities, stop worrying. Allow nature to reveal God's design and how he can sustain life. Do you believe in a creator God? Yes. Do you understand? Can you look around and see how that God cares for the fowls of the air? Can you look around and look into nature and see how God designed things of this world to sustain birds, to sustain animals, to sustain lilies? God has a design in everything, and how the way that God designs it is to sustain it for as long as He wants it to be sustained. We have faith in God. And looking around at what God is able to do for birds and animals and lilies, I love the statement that is made right after this in verse 26. Are ye not much better than they? Are ye not much better? Are you not much more important to God? Do you have much more worth? Because today, the humanistic mindset is an animal has just as much worth and sometimes even a greater worth than a human being. That's messed up. That is the mindset of the world today that does not understand the very mind of God or the design of God and why we are placed on this earth. God's saying to us today, stop worrying about it. You are important to me. And if you look around and see how I'm able to sustain all other life forms, then you can have the confidence, if I'm able to sustain and design it to sustain all other life forms, that I will take care of you. It's a faith issue. No comparison between the worth of a human soul and a dog or cat, especially a cat, or a bird. Yeah, where does that thinking come from? An unborn animal has more rights than an unborn child? That's evil. That is evil. Yeah. Are you not much better? Do you see yourself being more important? Do you see yourself being more important to God than to worry about basic necessities? Yeah. Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, worrying about it, can add one cubit unto his stature? Can anyone add height to their stature? How many do you think have worried about adding height to their stature? Yeah. Most boys, especially if you enjoy sports, especially if you're dreaming of a day when you might be able to just touch the very bottom of the net, not dunk it. Now, come on, that might be a little bit too much. Just touch the bottom of the net. And you're thinking, one day. Are you worrying night and day? And you think no matter how much you worry about it, is there a chance of that worry changing it? It'll never happen. Not that you will not grow. You might and you might not. But you worrying about it's not going to change it. Yeah. So then, don't worry about things you cannot change. You're overloading your brain cells. And Satan would love to get you to overload your brain cells. Because when you overload your brain cells, it affects the emotions and it will destroy your health. It's a spiritual issue. You feel like in order to be spiritual, you have to focus on things that you can't change 24/7. And that's the worst thing you can do. The best thing you can do is think about it enough to do what you can do, and we're going to see this in just a minute. And as you're doing what you can do, then you're casting those cares upon the Lord, who's able to do what you cannot do, which frees you up to do other things that you can do. Yeah. Worry has never solved a problem, but I guarantee you it will magnify every one of them. Yeah. So plan of action. As we close here tonight, the plan of action, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, stop worrying, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Wait a minute, are you different than a Gentile? What does that mean? It means the Gentiles were those that are lost. The Gentiles, what he's referring to there, did not have faith and trust in God. Those that don't know God, that don't have God to turn to, do not have the faith in God. That's how they live their life. It will control them. But you are different. Jesus is presenting to them, you are saved. You have me to look to. I will be your shepherd. I will be your comforter. I will be your God. And you have faith to look to me. And so as you do this, for after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You're losing out on your faith. Stop. Strengthen your commitment to your faith. That's what we have need to do. When things are starting to get overwhelming, when things are coming down all around us and we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's not a time to lose faith. It's a time to recommit to the God of our faith. Yeah. Just how do I do that? Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's probably the most used verse in counsel. Because it's the simplest help that God has for every believer. It's something that we all can do if we choose to do it. Seek first spiritual intervention. Get back to faith. You're not a loss. You have to deal with it as a lost person. You don't have to deal with it as a Gentile. You are a person of faith. You know that God is real. You have faith in Jesus Christ. You know that he's there to help you. Spiritual intervention first. First thing that I do when I hear something that I need to know about. I turn it over to God. Because that's what I can do. And that's what I am commanded to do. That is what I need to do. But once I take it and I cast it over to the Lord, then I have to take it off of my shoulders and I have to let him take care of it. Now, I am aware of it, and I am aware of God. And whatever God wants me to be used in the help of that situation, I am aware of that. I am sensitive to that. And I'm going to do whatever it is that God reveals that I can do and need to do. But I cannot take the place of God and think that it depends upon me, because it doesn't. Because I'm not God. As a pastor, I'm not God. As a pastor, I'm not your shepherd. I'm your under-shepherd. As a pastor, I am to represent the word of God. As a pastor, I am to pray. As a pastor, I'm to do everything that I can do. I'm not God, and neither are you. No matter who it is that you are concerned about, no matter who it is that you want to see help, no matter who it is, listen to me. The most important thing you can do for that individual is to turn it over to God. Seek spiritual intervention. How do we do that? It's exactly what Jesus had taught in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 to 13, we won't read it, but he tells them how to pray. That's the first thing that we do. We pray. And he says in verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. That's not going to change anybody to just continue to repeat over and over some words. No, get a hold of God and let your request be made known. Cast all your care upon him. I care about this person. I care about their situation. I care about what they're going through. And God, right now, I want to turn it over to you because we need your spiritual intervention. Amen. Verses 16 to 18. It could be prayer will not be enough. And if you've been in this church, you understand that we know of an extension to prayer, which is fasting. And it could be that God wants you to fast as you turn this thing over to God for intervention. He might reveal to you you haven't done enough in just praying, because you still have a burden, you still have something. And he says in verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, as a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may be appearing to men so fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest. So we find here that he already given them what we need to do and spiritually turn it over to God. We have opportunity to pray. And as soon as we hear of something, as soon as we're made aware of something that we need to be made aware of, that God would have us to do something about, the most important thing for us to do is to get God's intervention. To turn it over to him. Don't hang on to it. God, I've done the first step. I've prayed. What else? I'm going to fast. God, that's what you want me to do. Because that's what we can do. The third thing he tells them is Matthew chapter 6, actually verse 19, all the way down to verse 24. But verse 24 goes somewhat with what we preached on this morning. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Don't serve mammon. Use it to serve God. So I want to continue to serve God, because it keeps me ready to deal with whatever I have to deal with. It keeps me spiritually minded, so when something, I do get the news, I'll be able to handle it. I'll be able to know what else can be done. I'll be prepared because I've been serving God, and serving God allows me to walk closer to him. Plan of action. Plan of action. Spiritual intervention. Seeking God's will. His way. Verse 34, and we're done. Every day we are to do these things. Every day we pray for those in whom God would have us to pray for. Every day we seek whether or not we need to fast for those that we are praying for. Every day we serve God to maintain a walk with Him for whatever situation that I might have to face every day. Every day we do these things, trust in God to determine our tomorrows. Did you get that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But then he says, take therefore no thought. Don't stop. You're worrying again. How it's going to turn out tomorrow. Stop it. Be concerned enough to do what it is you can do. Make sure you're doing that every day. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We're battling the devil, we're battling the adversary every day. Don't give him tomorrows. Don't give him the outcome, don't give him to tomorrow. Battling today, and the way you're battling today is doing what God would have us to do. Have the faith, casting our care upon Him, for He careth for us, and doing what you know you can do. And then when you rest your head on your pillow, know that you've done everything you can do. Put it in the hands of God and go to sleep. Be ready to attack tomorrow. Tomorrow. Because God knows what tomorrow will bring. And He knows what we'll need in order to face our tomorrows. God's help for anxiety in the New Testament church age. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Worry is unholy, unhealthy, and if you will, unhelpful. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Whatever you have to do, replace it with faith and trust and service to our God. Father, we bow before you tonight. Love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this Sermon on the Mount and the great help that it is for New Testament Christianity. I pray, God, that we would have received this word and now look to apply it every day of our lives. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.